Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority, but its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to The Obligation, where we discuss topics in faith and in life to help you become the man God called you to be. Let's get started. Welcome back to another week of The Obligation. We're thrilled you are here to continue to develop your faith in your walk to be the man and woman God has called you to be. Jason Murphy, another week of The Obligation. Are you ready?
Let's do it, John. Happy New Year to you.
Happy. It's finally here, 2021. It feels like a big turn of the calendar. And even though nothing changed, it felt like a big deal.
Indeed, yeah, especially after this last year, for sure. So probably a little more excitement to trickle in from 2020, but hopefully that'll all settle down soon, and we'll get going and back to work.
Well, it started off the year with a bunch of political stuff, and the whole a man and a woman fiasco that's now happened in Congress. Your thoughts?
You know, the senator, you know, he's an ordained minister, and you know, he went on to defend that and, you know, basically say that, oh no, that he was just trying to be inclusive and recognize, you know, all of, you know, the new women serving in Congress, which, you know, is a great thing, right? That's a great accomplishment for women and these days. But it's just subversive, you know, and that's just kind of what we're bombarded with. It's just subversive to convince us or draw us to, you know, this narrative, you know, of the unbalance and all this angst going on. And it's just a shame. It's an abuse, you know, 'cause yeah, the intention, you know, maybe his intention changed after he said it. I don't know. But, you know, the intention, you know, if he wanted to come out and make a statement, that's one thing. But to take, you know, a word that means so be it in the Christian context and just kind of subvert it to the secular, you know, bring it down to just a base level and to an agenda, you know, certainly not really a big fan of that.
It is just the world that we're living in these days, isn't it? It's like, from a faith perspective, it feels like an attack, but I know it's not, but it feels that way because it feels like we're being attacked from every angle as a believer. I mean, yesterday I saw, you know, the CNN anchor, I mean, really attacking a senator for his Christian beliefs on national television. And it's like, I mean, have we gotten to that point in this country where a country founded on the principles of freedom and the belief in God, that is almost laughed at this point, or that a belief in that way is like so far out of bounds in 2021. And that's where it starts to feel like an attack to me. Not that, you know, it's ridiculous for anyone that knows what the word amen actually means, but almost to the point where it's like, this is what Christianity is, isn't it? I mean, it's not going to be easy, and people aren't just going to wholeheartedly agree with it. I mean, it's not convenient.
Well, we know the devil works very subtly, right? And he's not going to, you know, come with some big flash bang. I mean, that's how it works. He works in our own lives. I mean, he knows that someone who's, you know, living in a good marriage and, you know, strong faith and trying to do the best they can and, you know, practicing, you know, utilizing the sacraments, practicing their faith regularly, he's not going to come with something. You know, he knows we're not just going to go flying off and do something crazy. It's going to be little things and, you know, little distractions. It might be something on TV or something pops up on our on our screen. We know how quickly that can happen, where, you know, you're sitting there just looking for something online and all of a sudden something, you know, really inappropriate pops up. And I mean, it's just those little things. He knows we're not going to go digging in. I mean, at least, you know, some guys, you know, have more struggle with that or not, but, you know, we're not going to go diving, you know, right into, you know, hardcore porn site, but, you know, a little glimpse here and a little swimsuit sale here on this corner. And all of a sudden, you know, it's kind of like draws attention. And that's the same thing here. I think, you know, the world, you know, he works through the world. He works through, you know, the secular world and in these little subtleties where it's like, well, it's not right. I don't like it, but yeah, I don't know. I can see where he's coming from. He's got a point, but, yes, I don't know, but that's how it works. You know, it's just little subtle hints and distractions.
Well, it's fascinating that you bring up the devil here, because I've been digging in to Father Mike and Ascension Presents. They have a new podcast called The Bible in a Year. And Father Mike basically covers the Bible in 365 days, and a new podcast comes out every day. And it takes real discipline to have your time each day to go through it, just like you would, you know, reading the Bible in a year. It takes a lot of self-discipline, particularly when the words, sometimes you read them and you're like, what does that even mean? I always get lost in it sometimes. But it's been interesting for me because I've really never read the Bible straight through in a year. And I can listen a lot faster than I can read. That's probably just a knock on my intellect, but or my learning style, whichever one you say. But it's been a great way for me to start a practice early in this season of this year of getting through the Bible and going through it with it open and the words coming through my ears. And he starts in Genesis, obviously. And the whole story of Adam and Eve and the creation story. And it's like, how often have I gone back to that and see how the devil really worked early in that story of creation? He wasn't overt. He just questioned God to Adam and Eve. Like, why can't you eat from this tree?
Yeah, simple, subtle.
It's subtle. It's just like, what? Who is he to say you can't eat from this tree? You know, and it's where sin really broke in, and then the destruction of Cain and Abel, and where sin manifested itself in light. It's like that devil man is tricky. He just slithers, and it's something that we need to be aware of this year, no doubt.
Absolutely, and you bring a good point. You know, diving into scripture and just trying to follow the mind of the church, you know, obviously, you know, incorporated with scripture and tradition, and how, you know, we look at, you know, we can look at a full span of a year, and we can look how society will, you know, kind of dictate, you know, again, this goes back to where are you getting your information and what's leading you, right? Is it the news, and is it social media, and is it politics, and is it all the engagement of society? Because if you are, basically you're running from, you're running from Christmas, you know, to New Year, to Valentine's Day, to Easter, and then when, you know, the 4th of July, we cruise through the summer, and then we, you know, we're back at Labor Day, Halloween, Thanksgiving, and then, you know, Christmas, which obviously, you know, society starts in October. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so that's, you know, and again, that's, I just make a parallel here because it is subtle. It's almost like, well, no, you know, we're following, you know, these are, you know, the majority, you know, these are a lot of Christian, you know, holidays, especially, you know, obviously Christmas, but, you know, Valentine's Day, you have St. Valentine, you have Easter, and I mean, you know, Thanksgiving, you know, Christian based, but I guess the point being that, you know, if we're chasing these, like, these little milestones that society puts before us, and those go along with, like, our vacation time and our birthdays and the shopping season. And if we're just pushed and kind of, like, you know, forced through the year with those days and that kind of mentality, it's, again, it's subtle because we're still in generally following, but are we really following the spirit of the church? And that's, you know, something I want to, you know, kind of just hit on. And, you know, because really we know that, yeah, we just celebrated New Year's per the calendar, but really the liturgical New Year started November 29th with the first week in Advent. you know, and that's where, you know, we begin and we prepare for the coming and the birth of Christ. And then if we follow that, you know, we go from the birth of Christ to, you know, to New Year, you know, the circumcision, we have the Epiphany, and then followed by the baptism of our Lord, the presentation in the temple. We ease into Lent. We have the Holy Triduum, you know, of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, leading up to Easter. And then we have 40 days to the Ascension, you know, 10 more days, we're at Pentecost. And then throughout the year, you know, are scattered all the Feast of the Saints and the larger, you know, Feast of Our Lord, Corpus Christi, Sacred Heart, you know, the Feast of Our Lady. And I think that's an important thing, you know, while you're, you know, because I got to do a better job with that. You know, I don't read scripture like I should read scripture. But I'm trying to pay more attention daily and looking at the saint of the day and looking at the feast of the day, because, you know, the more integrated we are with the spirit of the church, we're with the spirit of Christ and we're following that because they cooperate together and they lead us to Christ. And so that's my plan. My plan is to start following the liturgical calendar, you know, a lot closer than I have been. It's very important, and not get caught up in that push from the world and that secular division that we have.
What's interesting about your comments, and my first reaction is like that we should both be doing opposite of the things that's comfortable to us.
Yeah.
Because that's where growth happens. It's where we're probably going to have the most fruits from our sacrifice or effort in spending time with Christ, is not the stuff that we're probably comfortable in. And here's a good example of that. I default more to scripture and I go there more, probably because my influence from the evangelical community, where your default tends to be more in the tradition, in the calendar year of the church, and, you know, all these things that make the Catholic Church so wonderful. And I always think we should flip-flop. Like, I feel like because that's where you're kind of more comfortable, you should be the one that's listening to, you know, the Bible in a year, and I should be the one that's getting into the Catechism of the Catholic Church and this calendar of the saints and looking at, okay, who's the saint on this day and what did they do and why are they a saint? Right. So it's almost like, and maybe those of you listening can relate to this, we default to what's comfortable. And if scripture is where you're comfortable, that's where you're going to go. If the church and the tradition is where you're comfortable, that's probably where you're going to go. But the fruit of that is probably on the other side of the coin. And maybe that's where you invest this year. So you've inspired me today to say, I can't just settle on the Bible in a year or looking at scripture every Friday in my Bible study. But no, like, I got to get into the church and the tradition and the sacraments more. Not that I'm out of it, but I'm not into it like you might be.
I mean, they're all fully integrated. I mean, you know, and because a lot of, you know, non-Catholics will say that, oh, you know, Catholics, they, you know, we don't read scripture. We don't use scripture. But the funny thing is that the church liturgy goes through the entire Bible in a 3-year cycle. So yes, we don't, you know, Catholics are, you know, I'm the first to admit, you know, as far as the amount of time I spend strictly reading scripture. I read it daily, you know, for the most part when I get my daily readings, which are related to the readings of the day. Yes. So, you know, it's reading from beginning to end. I think I've attempted that, and I think I got through it one time and it took a long time, but as far as, you know, putting it into, you know, the proper context, I think that, you know, they're all so, they have to be all done the same. You know, you can't go too far into one or too far in the other because they're all kind of self, they kind of support each other. You know, they're all based on each other. But no, I agree. I certainly, you know, need to do a better job, especially with reading of scripture and
relying on it. I think that's the word that I don't do a good enough job of, and I'm assuming that you don't either. I felt like I've relied on the Eucharist to kind of be strength. I've relied on prayer or the sacraments in ways. But man, to have to be able to rely on his word. I mean, in John 1:14, it says, "And the word became flesh, and he lived among us, and we saw his glory. Glory like that of an only begotten Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." I mean, and the word became flesh. It's like, to not sink in deeper and to rely on his word in scripture. And to, when you're in that tough moment, to say, man, Galatians 6:9, or man, you know, John 1:14, it feels like a disadvantage for you and me to live in this world without it embedded in us and us relying on it.
I agree.
The question then is, why don't we? I mean, I know we're busy. Okay. I know there's a lot. What's that?
Distraction. Ease of life. You know, laziness. That's me. No, it is.
I don't think it is you. Like, I mean, I see how old are you?
I'm 46.
You're 46 years old. You look like you're 36. Okay. You're in incredible shape. You have 6 kids. You run a business. You're lazy is not the word that I would describe Jason Murray.
I don't know. I guess it depends on standards too. But no, I mean, I know myself, and I know that, you know, I do spend a lot of time, my veg time, and I'm guilty of, you know, just, you know, sitting on the couch and just plugging in for a couple hours and catching the news or Shark Tank or, you know, or whatever, you know, just to kind of just zone out. And I mean, I do beat myself up on that sometimes, you know. And I mean, I know that we have to relax at some point. We can't be full on all the time. You know, we can't just be engaged in scripture and you know, and doing everything, you know, in that respect, you know, all the time. It's difficult. We have to have some downtime, and I guess we just have to be careful with that downtime and what it is. I mean, exercise, of course, recreation to help recreate the spirit and recreate the body, you know, make sure we have that recreation time. But we can't be doing, you know, physical workouts, you know, half the time and hammered down in scripture the other half, and then working and then raising kids. So I don't know. I guess it's a balance, you know. It's just, you know, we have to be careful. Again, it's, you know, what are we plugging into? And, you know, is it a horrible sin to sit there and watch, you know, the news, you know, for 45 minutes to an hour, 2 hours, whatever. I don't know. And if it's consuming and I've got to be on there and I've got to watch it for 4 hours every night, well, that's probably not leading me anywhere. But, you know, I don't know. I guess it just boils down to a balance, making sure it's not taking
I think it's more than a balance.
Yeah.
Because I think it's sacrifice. I think it is. I really believe it is you making a choice, or I make a choice, or anyone listening making a choice to sacrifice your time for him, because you care about him, you know how much he loves you, and you want to sacrifice the time that you could be doing something else with him. And I know that's a big word, sacrifice, and I've heard many times love is sacrifice, which I vehemently believe to be true. It just being married 10 years, it is definitely a sacrifice at times.
Oh, yeah.
But I think maybe that's the word for 2021, is like, what are you going to sacrifice? What are you willing to sacrifice for the love of Jesus and his church and your bride or your family? What are you willing to sacrifice?
Have you heard of Exodus 90? You probably heard a little about the Exodus 90 program. I did it 2 years ago. So basically it's a,
another example of Jason not being lazy, the Exodus 90.
Well, and that's, yeah, but, I've turned it down a couple more times because it was brutal. It was great. And the fruits that were realized in it were incredible. And I just kind of came, you know, they just started, I guess, January 4th was a new round. I guess they do it twice a year. So they start January 4th and it ends on Easter. So it's a really nice work, a pre-Lenten
what
start.
Is it? I'm not familiar. And it goes
through. So Exodus 90, so it's 90 days and there's no television. There's daily rosary, no social media, and a big one, cold showers, no hot showers. So it's a program that started a few years ago, and I was asked, you know, to join it, you know, maybe three, and I was like, yeah, I don't know, that sounds like too much. And then about 2 years ago, I was like, well, you know, I'll give it a go. And I went all in. I mean, I did. I mean, I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And it was great. I mean, I did all kind of stuff around the house. I painted the downstairs. I wasn't watching TV all the time. I was meet, and you also meet with your prayer group, with your group. You have a group, core group of guys, maybe five or six guys. And so you meet once a week and you just, you know, you say a rosary together. You go through some of the prayers and kind of they have a book that you follow for each day and you kind of go through those and there's fellowship and then, you know, maybe have a meal together. It was great. It really was. And you know, I thought about doing it again this year. I was like, you know, because I know, and that's where we are. That's, you know, that's what we're talking about here, sacrifice. Because I know if I would have done it, there would have been great fruits. But because, well, one, I hated the cold showers. I got to tell you, that was the worst. Now, they do give like a little bit of leeway there. So if you can't do a full cold shower, you could do a lukewarm, but it was incredible experience. And those, I mean, so then I look at that and I'm like, well, because I'm, you know, we're constantly judging others. We're constantly judging ourselves. So I'm looking and I'm judging. I'm like, well, why didn't I do it? I mean, I can only come up with, I was a little lazy. I don't know. I mean, I guess I got a lot of other stuff going on, but and maybe that's a fault to my fault that, you know, is it really lazy or, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. It's weird because I know it would be a good thing to do, yet I chose not to do it. Doesn't mean I'm going off the rails and doing anything crazy or horrible because I didn't do it. So I don't know. Those are tough times in life, you know, when you're kind of there where you know if you do it, you know, it's going to be a good thing. So where does that leave you? Is that a fork in the road moment where, you know, left is right and right is wrong? I don't know.
Each situation obviously being different, and even talking about it right on air, it's what a great thing that men are doing. Purify their life,
yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
And the sacrifice that they're making in that arena, just like any diet or, you know, sometimes periods in life, it's not attainable to do to that extreme. Having said that, making sacrifice is a decision that each one of us has to make. And I do feel like the self-discipline, the willingness and the ability to sacrifice what you want now for what you want later on is something that every person listening should consider.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just as guilty of having an ice cream or, you know, making some bad choices with food as anybody. And so there's no judgment there. But as it relates to the sacrifice of your faith and what you're willing to do for this man that died on the cross for your sins, it's something that we need to take seriously. It's something that we need to take seriously, like way more serious. I can't believe I've gone through so many years of my life, almost 38, 39 years. And it's like, how is this just becoming real to me? Like, in some ways it shows like the beauty of faith and the beauty of how he continues to pursue us despite our sin, despite us going away from him. And like, he's there for us if we just turn to him more. And I am guilty, man. My mom sent me like a marriage retreat thing to go with my wife in January. And I was like just the big sigh. Like I know we need it. Like I know we would benefit from it. But it's like, man, is that like the priority right now? Like going to marriage retreat out of town? Like, but maybe, you know, is that a sacrifice that I need to make? And I don't know where that decision grid is for where this sacrifice is, but I do know that love is sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I do know that you're called to sacrifice if you love Jesus and I love Jesus, and you're called to sacrifice if you love your wife for your marriage. And the question is, what are you willing to sacrifice?
Well, I challenge you to the next Exodus 90. So we'll find out when that starts and we'll see.
Who's really willing to sacrifice?
I'll challenge you to that duel. I would do it again. And certainly I would suggest it to anybody who hasn't done it. And I think they're actually having meetings tonight. I know St. Patrick's having a meeting tonight for those who are still wanting to get on. I think they started on the 4th, but I think they're still open. If that's something you haven't heard about, you know, look into it. You know, it could be something you need. It certainly will get you out of some of the habits you may have developed. I assure you, it did for a while. You know, it broke me of the habit of, you know, just plugging into the TV or social media for a while. I got off Facebook and didn't watch TV, and it was amazing. You know, I had a lot of conversations with my wife, and, you know, was able to, you know, spend more time reading and the good things. You know, again, I'm gonna go back to the cold showers. Be ready guys, because they're tough, man. I love my warm shower, and especially during the winter time, if you're gonna crank out one from January 4th to Easter, be ready. But man, there's grace there. There's grace in the sacrifice of that. For sure. So temporary.
I concur. So the challenge for everybody listening is love is sacrifice. What are you going to sacrifice in 2021 for Jesus, for your faith? It doesn't have to be Exodus 90, okay? But it's got to be something. It doesn't have to be Bible in a year, but it has to be something. And each one of us gets to choose what we're willing to sacrifice. But at the end of the day, the behaviors, the habits that you put every single day is what's going to show and determine the sacrifice that you're willing to make. And no one can do that for you. Jason can't do it for you. Jason can't do it for me, although it would be nice the way this guy can just do Exodus 90. It's an interesting perspective and really a challenge to all men and women. Right.
I got another challenge that might help.
Go ahead.
2021 Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Segue. So coming up March 20th, 2021, guys, we have the 11th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas. Now, we've gone back and forth. We've tried to figure out, is this going to work with COVID? You know, are we going to be able to have this? And, you know, we've talked to St. Thomas Aquinas, who's hosting the event. We've talked to our chaplain, Father Rue. We took some, you know, suggestions, you know, and heard lots of opinions. And I think, you know, we're going to go hammer down, man. It's, we don't know for sure. You know, we might run into more COVID related, you know, issues, and there might be more shutdowns, but I think we can't, you know, we can't worry about the future. You know, we know that we've talked enough about that on this show. Michael Jordan's quote, you know, we're not going to worry about the shot we haven't taken. But we're going to take this shot. And the shot is we're going to go ahead and plan it. And we got some great speakers lined up. We have Bishop Jugas, who's going to be there. He's going to be celebrating Mass for us that day. Dr. Bill Therifelder, president of Belmont Abbey College, you know, incredible speaker. Athlete, author, you know, he's going to be there. He was our MC last year, and we, you know, can't wait to hear from him. We're going to bring Bear Wozniak in from Hawaii, you know, pro surfer, author, motivational speaker, host of EWTN's Long Ride Home. He's going to be there. Dr. John Acquaviva will be our master of ceremonies. He's an instructor at Wingate University. And he's also a host of Faith and Sport on AM 1270. So he's going to be our MC. And you know, we got another name, another guy, you know, another local guy. This guy, you know, you may have heard his voice, John Eads. John Eads is going to be there.
I'm thrilled for the opportunity. It's really, you know, I think it's needed more than ever before, this conference. Whether we're going to have 500 in person or whether we're going to have 500 or 1,000 virtually, this thing is going to happen because it's needed. And yeah. And I'm thrilled about the opportunity to share some ideas. We get to speak on stages and virtually all over the country 50 plus times a year. And then to get the opportunity to do it to the faith and Catholic community that I'm a part of and to help inspire men, I'm really excited about it, Jason. And so what a great day this is going to be. The Catholic, give them the date one more time and the website to go to.
Yeah. So we got March 20th, 2021. That's a Saturday. It's going to start at 8 a.m. St. Thomas Aquinas. We have a website up with tickets are available for sale now. We're at CatholicMenOfTheCarolinas.org. And, we're going to be sending out a blast here, this week and letting the guys know we're kicking off and we're going to move forward, but be warned. We are going to challenge you to be a better man, a better father, a better husband, on that day. So, you know, be ready.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in men all over the Carolinas and in the world. Continue to open their hearts and their mind to you and what you've done for us in 2021. Let them remember that love is sacrifice and give them the strength to sacrifice what's required. Amen.
Amen.